Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by the Blue Monkey.
502 Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN, and every day around this time, I'm joined by your lead sports columnist, Daily Memphian, award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian, host of Jeff Calkins Show. It's Jeff Calkins. Jeff Calkins, that's been an interesting day, huh?
It has been an interesting day. I would say that, yes, to be true.
Let's start with this. And please, if you can, maybe I got a blind spot here. So if you can rationalize what the Grizzlies have done today, I invite you to do so. I've thought about it for, a couple hours now. I can't make sense of it. I got no issue with them reassigning Chris Wallace, firing J.B. Bickerstaff, reassigning John Hollinger, promoting Jason Wexler, Zach Kleiman, whatever. In a vacuum, all of it is sensible, if not obviously the right thing to do. Why they did it this way is impossible for me to understand. You could have done this 4 weeks ago, last month, last night, this morning. But to send Chris Wallace out there in front of those cameras today, talking as if he's going to continue as the general manager, and to send J.B. Bickerstaff in front of those cameras today, talking as if he's going to continue as the coach, to let J.B. Bickerstaff conduct exit interviews with all of the players, telling them what he expects this summer, what he's looking forward to next season, and then within an hour or two, either fire or demote them, is indefensible to me. This could have been a day and should have been a day for Grizzlies fans to be celebrating. Yippee, we finally got a new general manager. Woohoo, we're going to have a new coach. Here's our new face of the franchise, Jason Wexler. Put him in front of the cameras. Instead, they put Chris out there. They put JB out there. Then they cut him off an hour or two later in a way that is just, frankly, nonsensical, but also kind of classless and indefensible. Can you disagree with anything I just said?
I disagree with the fact that it's obvious. I mean, I have some objections. I have some concerns about the actual substance of the decisions they made.
That's fine. So, that's fine. I actually concede that.
So I don't want to be saying that. I'll tell you the logic, and I'll tell you I disagree with it completely. The logic is, listen, if we did this beforehand, the players have to go out there and answer a whole bunch of questions about why they got fired and like that. That's the logic, right? And so we'll do it after the players. Well, we have to have the players interview. But I'll tell you what, I have, like, the Buffalo Sabres, this is how people do it. The Buffalo Sabres just fired Phil Housley, right? And they fired Phil Housley, and then they had the media day the next day, and the players said, oh, we really feel bad that we got Phil fired. Like, that's the way it's done.
Of course it's the way it's done. They made Mike Conley and Marc Gasol discuss their own trade situations. Well, what are you talking about? They're ill-equipped to discuss J.B. Bickerstaff's termination, but they're perfectly equipped to, in the middle of the season, discuss their owner making them available to any franchise in the world back in February? What are we talking about?
Right. I think it's really a lousy way to treat Chris Wallace and to treat particularly and J.B. Bickerstaff. Honestly, like, I just think it's like those, whatever you say about them, they are classy individuals. But here's my larger point, okay? So here's the problem, is that if this is indicative of what the new front office is going to do in terms of decision-making, I don't think you can feel very good about what the new front office is in terms of decision-making. I mean, that's the reason they're doing this, is that the decision-making of the old front office was considered flawed, right? And we're going to have a new, smarter, streamlined, efficient decision-making process. This is the first decision they've made. How do you feel about it?
I hesitate to throw around the word dumb, because I know that plays not well with a certain segment of whatever. But like, it's just dumb. It's like it's even the Kings.
You know what it actually is?
It's cowardly.
I don't even.
It is. It's that. It's not wanting to answer, but it's not wanting. It's cowardly. It's not wanting to just be open about what you're doing. It's always been a very secretive, or lately the last few years, sort of a secretive front office, right? And it's consistent with that. It's we don't want, you know, we'd rather have those people have the awkward moments than have everybody have to answer questions about this.
This would have been the right way to handle it. You decide, again, you could have decided this stuff a month ago. Like, if you wanted to, if whatever you think about Chris Wallace today, you thought the same thing a month ago, same thing with JB, same thing with John Hollinger. This could have been decided forever ago. But at the very least, executed last night or this morning. And the way, if you put me in charge, this is the way we're doing it. Regardless of whether we would have done these exact things, once we decided what we were going to do, the way we would have done it is we would have announced it early this morning or late last night, in a very formal, released way. And then Jason Wexler would have showed up today.
Spoken about what we're doing. Like, the media's all there.
Everybody's,
you know?
What better day?
But again, it's, with all due respect, I don't think Jason Wexler wanted to do that.
These guys, that's
the cowardly part.
I was just hoping that Robert Pera made this decision, not Jason Wexler.
Well, I mean, it's fine. Robert Perry and Jason Wexler together. They didn't want to do this. You know, that's not how they wanted to do it. But, I mean, right now Jason Wexler's president of the entire team, right?
Jason Wexler should have been.
Do you think Robert Pera? I don't know who decided, but I suspect they decided it in concert. But like, who decided? Do you think Robert Pera said, "No, we're going to fire him"? The media, like, that doesn't seem to me like a Robert Pera kind of decision. Did the media day first and then fire him after?
Here's what I would say. I hope that's what it is. I don't know. I hope that's what it is because I don't want to believe Jason Wexler made that decision because I like Jason Wexler and I think he's smart.
Oh, I mean, here's the point. You can also have made a mistake and be smart, and this goes to the larger point. Here's what they did. They fired Chris Wallace, not fired him, reassigned him,
sure.
Fired J.B. Bickerstaff, and they've replaced him with Jason Wexler, who's over the whole deal now, and Zach Kleiman, who is the lead basketball executive, and they're gonna keep Tayshaun and Chris Makris, and they're gonna add some experienced people, is my understanding. But like, that is a hell of a risk, you know. Until 2014, Jason Wexler, I think he's smart as hell, good as hell. Like, I think he's one of the people who's kept us on the rails, right? But he was a real estate developer until 2014. And Zach Kleiman, until 4 years ago, was an associate at a law firm in New York. And only last year, then he came here to do salary cap stuff. And in the last year, he has moved into the basketball stuff. Like last summer, they said, hey, start doing some basketball scouting too, right? And now he's the lead basketball executive. Jason is the president of business ops. That is a hell of a risk. I'm not saying it's not going to work. You and I both agree that if you're smart and you're good and you're energetic and whatever else, you don't have to be doing anything for 20 years to do it well, right? But that is a hell of a risk. It's taking basically people with no experience doing either of these things and having them do these things. And you could have gone and gotten a basketball executive, right? Like a strong basketball executive. But this I do believe is the sort of issue, not issue with Pera, is he doesn't want – this is the best of the path of least resistance for him. He knows he gets along with Jason Wexler. He knows he gets along with Klayman, right? And so he didn't want to hire David Griffin, not that he could anyway, but David Griffin and say, you do it. He wants to have his sleeves rolled up and be involved in it and doing it still. And he knows that he can continue to operate the way he has been operating without a strong basketball executive. I mean, you can't say Zach Kleiman's going to be a strong basketball executive when he only became a basketball executive at all a year ago.
Yeah, what I would hope is they hire a more traditional basketball evaluator to work hand-in-hand with
Zach. Well, my understanding is they are.
Right.
But it's like I was talking to Harrington about this. He said, it's like putting an X and O coach on the bench with Josh Pastner. Right? That's what it's like. That's what they're going to do. They're going to say, let's go get some experienced basketball people, and put them around Klayman, who can, you know, who can help him with the real basketball evaluation part of this job. Because right now, they're all sort of the same. They're not the same person, obviously, but they're lawyers, right? I mean, that's what Wexler was, and that's what, you know, Klayman was, and that's, you know, they're not. And so you need a little bit the other thing too, right? Don't you think? And Tayshaun's there. Tayshaun's that, right? Tayshaun's a basketball is a basketball guy.
He's a former basketball player.
Right. Right. And but I mean, lots of basketball players all of a sudden are, you know, you can name lots of basketball players who are elevated into executive roles based on their experience. My point is, you want that kind of experience. People who've come up through basketball as opposed to come up through college and law school.
Right. I think it's important to have those people on staff, because even though I am somebody who's been around the sport for 20 years now and, you know, am well-versed to discuss the sport and the issues within the sport, I'm not a basketball player and I'm not a basketball coach. And as much as I think of myself, if I were running a basketball franchise, I would want to be surrounded with more traditional basketball people. I might be the decision maker at the end of the day, but I'd want on my right and on my left some more traditional basketball people who can maybe see things I don't see.
Well, and you give them credit for this. I think they know that. You know, I think they realize that weakness of them of themselves, and I do think they're smart, and I do think they don't want to fail, and I do think they're, you know, I think all those things are true. And so but is this risky? I would say this is risky. I mean, wouldn't you say it's risky?
Of course it's risky.
You could say anything's risky, but anything isn't risky. I mean, you know, that if you found someone who'd done it before, an experienced person, it doesn't mean they'd succeed. It's hard to build a basketball team. You got to get lucky in the lottery, first of all. Get lucky tomorrow, right? With the ping pongs, and that we would like with the draw tomorrow and then the ping pongs later. So there's a lot of luck that goes into all of this. And it's hard to do, but they're obviously motivated. They're smart. They want to do well. Their careers are on the line too. All that's true, but I think it is riskier than most. This is not a conventional decision to say, okay, Jason Wexler, you run the whole spiel, and Zach Klayman, who literally last year, just started to do a basketball evaluation. You're our lead basketball executive.
Yeah, I mean, undeniably risky. So my larger point is this.
And then I get to this. Then the first decision they made is the decision that you're outraged about, which is how they went about this.
Right.
And that is, whatever it is the way that this organization made that decision. I don't know who did it, but it is the way that they made this first decision, which doesn't necessarily, to me, speak well of their at least first stab at decision making.
No, because it was a bad decision. Like, let's just for a second put over here the fact that the idea that it's risky, whether we agree with what they did or disagree with what they did. Let's just say that, hey, this is what they did. This is what they're going to do, and they decided it whenever they decided it. Once you decide these things, you say, okay, we're going to announce it on Thursday morning. We're going to then let our new president of basketball and business, basically president of the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
We're going to let Jason Wexler be in front of the cameras for exit interviews and discuss in an intelligent way, because he would, all the decisions that have been made. And he will immediately, on this day that is so important, become the face of and voice of our franchise. And then maybe we'll let Zach Klayman do the same thing. Like, he'll be out there. But we're not going to trot out there a general manager who's been left in the dark about his future to talk about his future, and a head coach who's been left in the dark about his future to talk about his future. Anything other than that is better than that, far as I'm concerned.
I agree with that. I agree with that, and I think it was, I'll be honest, classless. I really do. I don't think it's a generous way to treat two people, one of, you know, who are Chris Wallace, who served this organization very well for a long time, and JB Bickerstaff, who's an unbelievably decent guy. And
you made them both look like clowns. Like, what I compared it to earlier, and this is not apples and oranges, but imagine for whatever reason you're a couple that people care about. You're a husband and wife, and this Husband and Wife magazine, like Perfect Marriage magazine, decides they want to do a story on you. And you ask your wife, like, hey, should we do this? And your wife says, yeah, yeah, go talk to him. It'll be great. What a great – and then you go talk to him, and you're like, yeah, our marriage is great. Perfect. And then 45 minutes after the story publishes, your wife files for divorce. It's like, whoa, you knew you were going to do that, and you still sent me out there to talk to them in that way? Why would you do that? Same thing here. Like, if I'm Chris Wallace or J.B. Bickerstaff, I'm going, why would you send me out there to answer those questions and to talk to these players as if I'm going to be in charge of them this summer and next season when you knew you were going to do this to me? Why would you put me out there like that? Like, that is really a ridiculous thing to do.
I do not disagree. I do not disagree. Having said that, I think the large. I do not agree with all of that. Though, as bothersome as that might be, as awkward as that might look, I am more concerned about the front office of how it's going to be in the future than what they did today.
I hear you.
I have to say it. Like, and to me, that it is. It's lousy. I mean, I think they made the decision that this is the best way to do it, and it's just not the way anyone ever does it.
Even the Sacramento Kings, widely regarded as the most dysfunctional franchise in the NBA, knew that, hey, I don't know, you know, people don't think we should fire Dave Yeager, but we've decided we are going to fire Dave Yeager. But, like, let's do it at 10 a.m. before we send him and our players out there. Even the Kings knew how to handle it. Even if what the Kings did was wrong.
Unbelievable.
Now, with the last time they parted ways with Dave Yeager here, right, it was different. It was, I mean, they did it. Yeager went out and did this at the press conference. And then it was like a week or two later,
right?
That he took the Suns' job. Took the Kings' job. And so that's a little different than 3 hours later, just pulling the rug out from under him.
It's a lifetime of difference. Like, I don't know that they knew for sure Dave Yeager wasn't going to be the coach on the day of the exit interviews after Dave Yeager's last season. Like, that sort of developed. You know, he was trying to get a long-term contract, if I remember correctly. Wanted a long-term deal with the Grizzlies. They weren't willing to give it to him. His agent had worked out this deal with the Kings. He knew he could get more money and more years in Sacramento. So then he wanted to maybe get fired. It was in his best interest. And then, boom, it ends up happening on the morning of, if I remember correctly, like the Kentucky Derby, because I remember being at the Kentucky Derby. That was vastly different than this. They knew what they were going to do with Chris Wallace and J.B. Bickerstaff before they sent Chris Wallace and J.B. Bickerstaff out there today. And they send them out there to represent their franchise, even though they knew the minute they're done speaking today, they're not going to be representing the franchise anymore. That makes – what other – if you want to say this is a company, then tell me this. What other company would do that?
I don't know.
Not done. If you knew – if you run in a company and you know – if you're in charge of a company and you know that the guy who's been the face of your franchise is not –
I mean, just imagine. It would be like, in terms of a company, it would be like putting a CEO on an earnings call, right? You're doing an earnings call and whatever, and he's the person on the earnings call and talking about how, yeah, last quarter wasn't great, but we really expect great things next quarter. And then all of a sudden, an hour later, CEO gets fired. You know what happens? Stock plummets because people don't believe in that organization. That's not how it works. You don't have them do the earnings call.
It's not how it works. Like, no, in no, no, no.
It's just not how it works. But, I mean, honestly, they've done a lot of things that I think don't know how it works. Like, I don't know who was responsible for it, but, like, who the hell announced that they were trading Mark and Mike? Like, that was stupid.
Stupid and unnecessary.
Yet that, it embarrasses people, right? It embarrassed Mark and Mike. Like, well, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that.
Well, the reason we can't tell JB and Chris they're done before the exit interviews is because we don't want our players to have to answer those questions. How about thinking that, but also being the same franchise that didn't mind having Mike and Mark answer the similar questions for two straight weeks? Try to balance that out.
Right. You can't. I mean, it's not how it's done either. You don't just call and say, we're putting these guys on the market. That's not what happens. You trade talk people. You do have trade talks with people. And then they say, word is you're hearing trade Mike Miley. Oh, there's discussions all the time. Mike was very – people covet our players because they're great players. Of course they're going to be whatever.
You just, you say, you just bat down the interviews the way everyone bat down. I mean, the questions, the way everybody bats down the questions.
No, we found out at the trade deadline that Kyle Lowry was available, but the Raptors didn't announce it 2 weeks before the trade deadline.
Right.
You know why? Because they run their franchise sensibly. Because they understand there's no point in doing that. And what they did today, there's just no point in doing that. Even if they made the right decisions, they went about it in a way that makes no sense whatsoever. You will never be able to convince me that this was the way to actually do this.
I'm not trying to convince you.
No, I know. I mean, it takes a day. Like, and this is the other part of it, just where I think sometimes they've got a PR blind spot for whatever reason. This show could have gone two totally different ways today. I could have come on at 4 o'clock and been like, you know what? I like Chris Wallace on a personal level. Always enjoy my time with John Hollinger. And we'll, going forward, enjoy my time with John Hollinger because I'm sure I'll see him around. J.B. Bickerstaff was nothing but a stand-up guy while I was here. But clearly things needed to change with this franchise, and credit to Robert Parra for recognizing that. And Grizzlies fans would have been celebrating. We're going to have a new person in charge of basketball, and we're going to have
let's
a new coach.
And let's see what Zach Kleiman has to say,
yeah.
Whatever else.
This show could have been that.
I think it's because of paranoia more than anything else is what I think it is. I think it's paranoia. I don't think they wanted to have I don't know who they is, but I don't think they want to have Jason and Kleiman out there answering questions today.
That's just crazy. I mean, I mean, what? you're losing your grip on your fan base. Yesterday, I had two tickets to Grizzlies Warriors, and before I announced I'm going to give them away on the air, I actually texted my brother-in-law because my nephews love Steph Curry. And so I was, and even though Steph wasn't going to play, it's like, it's still the Warriors and whatever.
Yeah.
And
right.
So I was just going to give them to him. But then he didn't text me back immediately, so it was too late. I had already put him on Facebook. But but he was like, yeah, my, you know, his company used to have Grizzlies tickets, so he would be able to go all the time, but they didn't get them this year. They said Tigers tickets sound like more fun. So they canceled Grizzlies tickets and they got Tigers tickets. And that ain't unique to his company. Whole bunch of companies did that. You have lost the grip on a decent percentage of your fan base with all of the losing over the past couple of years. And
go look right now at Mike Conley's Twitter feed.
I know. Yes. No words. When you catch Mike Conley off guard, how can you catch Mike Conley off guard? Like, the guy just says all the things he said yesterday to Peter Edmonston in The Athletic, and you catch him off guard? You got him now tweeting no words? It's incredible. Like, you cannot run it any more poorly than that. And at a time when you need – and this is the point I'm trying to make. We could have been talking about credit Robert Parra for identifying change needed to be made. We know this is tough, and these are real people who have become – members of our community, and nobody wishes anybody to be terminated. It's a very real-life thing for real families. But credit Robert Parra for understanding things need to be changed, and that's my opening 20 minutes. And then I go, and when we come back, the new president of the Grizzlies, Jason Wexner, is going to join me. And then Jason would say all these great things because he's great, and people would be like, woo-hoo, he sounded sharp. Maybe this is the new leader of the Grizzlies that the Grizzlies need. Instead, they just bungle the entire thing. And nobody is focused on that. And even the people who are focused on that aren't sure it's the good thing. Like, they took this opportunity and wasted it. Actually took something that could have been positive and turned it into a mess.
I do not disagree.
And it really does, like, make you lose a little faith in whoever you're losing faith in when this is the decision that's made today. It's just a wrong decision. Just a wrong decision. Ugh.
It was the wrong decision. I mean, I don't want to say. Like, I'm with you. I agree. It was the wrong decision, and it was treating – yeah. When you got Mike Conley saying no words, like, whew.
I mean, you can't have that. Like, you know how hard – Mike Conley, the guy who has never gotten a technical foul, is now publicly criticizing the Memphis Grizzlies. Think about that for a second.
That is incredible. That is incredible.
Think about that for a second.
It's nuts.
Mike Conley, the guy that won't even raise his voice to a referee who makes a bad call.
Unbelievable.
Because he is that respectful of whatever, is now publicly questioning the Memphis Grizzlies.
Ugh.
That's what
it also means that all your meetings with all the Grizzlies meetings with the executives weren't with the executives. Like, I mean, you know, they were presumably with Chris Wallace, right?
Well, I, the Grizzlies exit meetings were not with. They didn't even know about these things for the Grizzlies exit meeting.
Well, Shams reported that. I don't know about that, but I do know that Shams reported that the players conducted exit meetings with J.B. Bickerstaff and like had long discussions about what we're going to do this summer, what we're trying to do next season. Here's how I envision your. This is what I envision your role to be. And they were all just pointless conversations because JB's not going to be the coach. And the franchise knew before those even happened that JB wasn't going to be the coach. And if I'm a player, and I'm certain the players, if not all, most feel this way, I'm going.
They all love JB. They all love JB.
Yeah, maybe the players go, yeah, maybe we could use a new head coach, but they like the guy. And if I'm this, like, bothered by the way they did that, I don't even know him that well. If I'm bothered by the way they did this, how do you think Chandler Parsons feels? And they probably don't care how Chandler Parsons feels. Or Mike Conley's publicly criticizing you on social media. I'll leave it at that. Like, and not to mention, forget, let's just say the players feel one way or another, doesn't matter about J.B. Bickerstaff. If I'm a player, I'm going, why'd you make me sit through a 30-minute talk with a coach talking about my future who ain't going to be my coach? Why'd you waste my time like that? I mean,
crazy.
Like, imagine I'm at CBS and they say, Gary, we want you to come speak for an hour with this guy who's going to lead you next year. And I sit down with him for an hour, and then an hour later they fire him. What? Why did you just put me through that? I keep repeating myself, but I don't know what else to say. It doesn't make any sense.
It does not make any sense.
At least RJ.
No words.
At least RJ Hampton's coming soon, so that'll be good.
That'll be good.
Anyway, I'm sure you'll be writing about this, or have you already done it?
I'm right. I'm in the process.
All right. We'll get back to the process, right, and we'll read DailyMemphian.com later on tonight.
Right. Be back in a minute.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Mattresses and Furniture by Michael Zeller is not your traditional mattress and furniture store. The prices are always 50% to 80% off retail stores, so they don't have to have sales. They're already killing the competition 52 weeks a year. Got an A-plus rating, Better Business Bureau. When readers of the Commercial Appeal were asked to vote for the best mattress store in the area, the winner, four straight years, has been Sleepy Z's. But they don't just sell mattresses, also furniture, living room sets, dining room sets, rugs. Anything you need to furnish your home, you can probably find it at Sleepy Z's. And if it's not on the floor, don't even worry about it. They got a 42-inch kiosk there filled with furniture. You can browse through it, find what you want, then they'll go get it for you. And remember, mention you heard about them on the Gary Parish Show. You're going to save an additional 10% on your purchase. That's at Sleepy Z's Mattresses and Furniture by Michael Zellner. It's located 2790 Kirby Whitman Bartlett at the corner of Summer Avenue next door to Hollywood Feed. And the number is 901-692-6200 if you want to talk to Mike directly. 901-692-6200. That's Sleepy Z's on the web, sleepyzzz.com. It's 533, Gary Parish Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. I'll be honest. I've said about everything I know to say on this. So if you guys want to ask a question or chime in or, like, explain to me what it is I'm missing, I'm happy to listen to you. 535-3776, 535-ESPN. For anybody who hasn't joined us earlier, let me make clear where we're at. The Grizzlies earlier today conducted exit interviews with – Chris Wallace playing a prominent role, speaking as if he was going to continue as general manager. In fact, saying that he had no worries about his job at all. J.B. Bickerstaff not only speaking with the media about being the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies next season, but also speaking to the players one after another about being the head coach of the Memphis Grizzlies next season because he was under the impression that he would be. He talked to the players about what he expects from them this summer, what roles they'd be in next year, so on and so forth. And then within 2 hours of those exit meetings, the Grizzlies announced that Chris Wallace is no longer the GM. J.B. Bickerstaff has been dismissed. Jason Wexler has been promoted to president of the Grizzlies. Zach Kleiman has been promoted to basically the guy that's going to handle day-to-day basketball stuff. John Hollinger has been reassigned to what appears to be a lesser role. And my point is this. We could actually argue about whether the decisions they made are good or bad. I'm optimistic about them. Jeff is more skeptical than I am. But take that, put it over here. To do it in this order, in this way, to me makes no sense whatsoever. You don't trot out a general manager who's not going to be your general manager in 2 hours. You don't trot him out in front of cameras to talk about the future of your franchise when you already know in 2 hours he ain't going to be a part, he's not going to be a decision maker in your franchise anymore. And you don't trot out a coach to be discussing in front of cameras the future of your franchise when you know 90 minutes from now he's not going to be your head coach anymore. You don't allow him to do exit interviews. Not to mention, it's just a waste of his time. Imagine trying to talk to one basketball player after another about their future. Those minutes add up. That's what J.B. Bickerstaff spent today doing. And he, you know, before you allow him to do it, yo, man, you're wasting your time. You're not going to be the coach next season. Why would you do that?
There's not a good reason
to do that. This should have been a day Grizzlies fans could rally around. We have new leadership. We're going to have a new coach. Here's our new president, Jason Wexler. Get on a microphone. Get in front of these cameras and tell us your vision. Get us excited.
Right.
Be something we can believe in. And I still think Jason can be something you can believe in. I'm a Jason Wexler fan.
Yep.
But Jason Wexler should be in front of those cameras today if he's the new president of the Grizzlies. Not Chris Wallace, not J.B. Bickerstaff. 535-3776, 535-ESPN. Let's go to Charlton. Charlton, Scary, how you doing?
Pretty good. Gary, I have one piece of advice from a hero of mine that I don't know if Robert Parra would listen to it, but he could use. General Patton once was credited with saying, hire good people, tell them the job that needs to be done, leave them alone to do it, and you will be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I've always thought that. Like, I think the best professional sports franchises do that. Hire good people and then get out of their way.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to the Wichita State athletic director, and we'll get back to the calls. This will be real quick,
yep.
But it hammers home the point he just made.
Mm-hmm.
Wichita State athletic director one time about Greg Marshall. He said, when I first hired Greg, I wanted to try to have meetings with him every, like, Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And we had one, and then I realized pretty quickly, I just need to leave him alone.
Right.
And he said, now I told Greg, like, whenever you want to talk, call me. I'm happy. I'll take your call.
Yeah, anytime.
Text me if you need. But other than that, I'm just going to leave you alone. And Greg Marshall turned Wichita State into a national brand, a number one seed, a Final Four, four participant.
Mm-hmm.
Hire somebody good and get out of their way. I promise you, Mitch Barnhart at Kentucky doesn't try to have discussions with John Calipari every day.
Right.
You hire John Calipari and you get out of the way. NBA franchises, NFL franchises work the same way. Hire people that are equipped to do the job and then get out of their way. And I hope that's what the Grizzlies do now. But to this point today, you don't do it the way they did it. Even if what they ended up doing was the right thing to do, they did it in such a wrong way that it just overshadows what should have been an otherwise positive day for the franchise. Let's go to Chester. Chester, it's Gary. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man?
I'm good. You all right?
I'm doing lovely. I guess I got two things. A, do you feel like, you know, we got to the point where maybe Robert Parra finally stepped in and wanted to just say, look, what the Jordan meme say, just stop it. Just get some help. And just get rid of everybody who's in the way. Because I feel like the second thing was I feel like we've been real unsure of what to do. Honestly, ever since they let Lionel Hollins go, you keep putting people out there and saying you want to change this and you want to push forward. You finally got JB to figure out who to play. I guess he didn't have anybody to play, so he had no choice but to get his rotation together. But he at least had them playing faster and actually doing something different that they've been trying to do for the last 4 or 5 years. So are we looking to get somebody who's actually going to continue that trend, or is this just I'm tired of it, just blow it all up and just over no matter what?
Yeah, I appreciate your call. Well, you know, it's not like they just absolutely cleaned house. I mean, Chris Wallace is still employed. John Hollinger is still employed. So far, the people who are going to be making basketball decisions are folks who have been working in the franchise just in different roles. So it's not like they just took everybody, threw them out, and now they're hiring all new people. So in that regard, if that's what you wanted them to do, well, that ain't going to be what you get. And so if you want to be disappointed by that, and I think Calkins is, I don't know about disappointed, but skeptical that this is the right move. My main issue isn't with that. My main issue is how they went about doing it. You could have fired Chris Wallace or demoted Chris Wallace and fired J.B. Bickerstaff last night or this morning. you don't let them be the faces of your franchise at exit interviews with cameras in front of them, you know, early afternoon, and then fire them within 2 hours of that. It looks ridiculous. Not to mention it's classless. You can say whatever you want to say about Chris Wallace, and I've heard it all, but he is also the man who built the grit and grind era, either because he was brilliant or because he lucked into it. Reasonable minds can disagree on that, but he did get it done. His fingerprints are on it. And to trot him out there and make him look like a fool, talking about, I don't have any reason to worry about my job. Because, like, on a very surface common sense level,
you don't. It's, you're there.
Like, the fact that you're there should suggest to you, well, of course they're not going to fire me to this afternoon. Otherwise, they wouldn't be crazy enough to send me out here right now.
To that point, Jeff spent 2 hours on his radio show before he went down to FedEx Forum killing the Grizzlies because they knew that Chris was speaking. And they were killing him because Chris was speaking.
Honestly, it's so simple. Here's what you do. You fire Chris, you demote Chris Wallace and fire J.B. Bickerstaff this morning.
Yeah, do it in the morning.
Or last night, doesn't matter.
Right, doesn't matter.
Then you have Jason Wexler walk out and introduce himself to the world in front of all those cameras. Then you have Jason Wexler. I don't want to say my show because it sounds like I'm saying he should
whatever.
Be here. Any show. Go on Sports 56.
Sure.
I don't care. Just have Jason Wexler as a voice today on radio, on TV. Not Chris Wallace on voice today
right.
on radio and TV. Not J.B. Bickerstaff on radio and TV today.
Yep.
Have Zach Kleiman and Jason Wexler becoming the new voices, the new vision of your franchise. Because this franchise, more than anything right now, needs somebody people can believe in. If you want to discuss why the Grizzlies should have gotten rid of Chris Wallace, it's really not about draft picks or trades. It's about people don't believe in him anymore.
Right.
And they need something to believe in. And so hopefully Jason Wexler is going to be that guy. I'm ready to believe in him. I like him and think he's smart.
Yeah.
He should have been out front and center today. This should have been the Jason Wexler show today. Instead, you trot out Chris, trot out JB, and then cut him within 2 hours later. It's dumb, and it's also disrespectful. But I'm less concerned with the disrespectful part than it's just dumb. It runs counter to your own interest. You didn't do this in a way that helped you. And when you are in control of something and you don't handle it in a way that helps you, but in a way that hurts you, it means you made a bad decision. 5353776. Let's go to Lanier. Lanier, it's Gary. How you doing?
Hey, Gary. Doing great, man. Doing great. Love your show.
I appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
I don't always agree with you, Gary, but I agree with you this time, brother.
That's fair. I'll take that. I don't know anybody in this world, including every human I live with, who always agrees with me.
But I've cracked up all the time by your comments about your family and how you deal with them and everything, and I get a lot of joy out of that. Mine are all grown and out of the house, so I don't have to worry about the young ones anymore. Anyway, the last time I checked, NBA franchise was a very large business, you know, that should be run like a professionally run corporation, right?
I agree with the premise. I think an NBA franchise is slightly different than, say, FedEx, but they are both big businesses. I can acknowledge that.
Yeah, well, it's worth, you know, almost $1 billion, so that's a pretty big business. And to do what these guys did today just makes them look like a bunch of buffoons. I mean, nobody that's the CEO of a large, successful business would trot his people out there to be the face of his company and his business at a time when he's struggling and needs more customers, which happen to be called fans, and trot them out there and let them be the face of the franchise, talking about how they're continuing on with what we're doing, blah, 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 and then fire them two hours later.
It's just, it's crazy. I mean, it's insane.
It makes no business sense whatsoever. And the other thing you said was, it's not in your interest to do it that way. Well, of course it's not, because you just made yourself look like a bunch of idiots, and you've probably alienated even more fans than you've already alienated.
Not to mention alienated Mike Conley. And you know how hard it is to alienate Mike Conley? Like, he wants to like everybody. And now he's on social media saying, I have no words. Like, what in the world? It's like an eye roll emoji from Mike Conley. Like, what
and
are...
Mike Conley's taking every whipping and everything that's been thrown at him by these people like a true gentleman. And he's, you know, and he's just sat back and probably had all he can stand, you know?
If Mike has reached the point where he's had all he can stand, I completely understand that. I appreciate your call. Thanks, man. Let's go to Craig in East Memphis. Craig, it's Gary.
Hey, Gary, first off, JB, that's not right what they did to JB, obviously. And
if you want, again, let's make sure people understand what we're saying, because I think you and I agree. If you want to fire JB, that's fine. You don't fire him an hour after you send him out there doing player interviews and media interviews. That's crazy.
No, he's a good dude. That's not right. Second off, let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets.
Oh, no. Get out of here, Craig. No, no. Craig, what are you? The wrong show.
They just walked in about 7 runs last night against the Twins. I was loving it.
Gary, you going next week to St. Louis?
I actually think I am.
Are you going?
I think we're spending Easter with Jacob DeGrom. I think that's true.
I'll be there, too. Hey, do you know the Mets roll?
The Mets roll?
What's the roll?
From 1986, the old couple that sat behind home plate and rolled their arms in the air?
Oh, I don't know that. I don't know them personally. I don't remember. I don't have a recollection of that.
Okay. All right. Just check it in. All right, Gary.
All right, brother. I'll see you. I don't know.
Did he work a Mets call in?
I think he just
put the firing squad?
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
Right. Hey, you never up with the phones up.
Let's go to Rodney in East Memphis.
great Scott, man. As the great Jack Eaton would say, you don't take phone calls that often, man. I was surprised.
Well, I figured this is a good day to do it.
Hey, man, I'm going to tell you something, man. The Grizzlies organization is dysfunctional. You got rid of the guy that went to New York. You paid him all of his salary. You're getting rid of this guy after the first year. You're paying him all of his salary. Now, I don't feel sorry for these coaches because they're getting their full salary. Hey, yo, get rid of me and pay me $10 million or $4 million or $8 million, however much you're supposed to pay me. I don't have a problem with that, but – Robert Pera, he has a mental problem. He's sort of like Donald Trump, man. You know what I'm saying? He has Donald Trump don't have money to waste unless he's trying to spend it on women that he's sexed up and trying to keep quiet. But Robert Pera apparently don't have a problem in firing a coach after 1 year, 6 months, a year and a half. Because actually he had something to do with Lionel Hollins getting fired. So, but yeah, man, but I think this guy really liked Chris Wallace, and that's why Chris Wallace still has a job. Chris Wallace should have been fired. I would have fired him. But it's time to move in a different direction, man. We just got to realize that Bapera is unstable.
Okay, thank you. That's Rodney.
I love Rodney.
Let's wrap this up real quick with Alan. Alan, it's Gary. How you doing?
The way I disagree with all of you guys. If you've ever been fired before,
I've never been fired before.
It don't matter if you're fired pretty or if you're fired ugly, you're fired.
That's not
true.
And
that's the bad part. And while it's unfortunate the way they did it, to sit here and go on and on about it, like I said, obviously everyone calling in had never been fired before because ultimately it doesn't matter how it's done. And compared to what's going on in other franchises today, yesterday, tomorrow, this is nothing. I mean, compared to Los Angeles, New Orleans, even Sacramento with Jaeger, this is nothing. I don't see what y'all need to save your vitriol for when the Mets mess up later on this season.
We got another Mets caller.
Okay. I'll say this. He makes one good point about the Mets probably going to hell later on this season. That's the way most seasons go. I would respectfully disagree.
Right.
It does matter. When you are this is not just a big business. This is it's not I don't know where Alan was his name. I don't know where Alan. I don't know where Alan works. Like it could be AT&T or it could be anywhere.
Yeah,
I don't know.
A business.
But it's not like a professional. He doesn't work in a professional sports franchise.
Right.
So when he gets fired, it matters to him.
Yeah.
It matters to his family. It matters to his friends. And it matters to nobody else on the planet. Nobody even knows.
That's right.
Okay? This is vastly different. This is a sports franchise that requires citizens to believe in it and invest in it.
Right.
And when you make very public decisions that are nonsensical, you erode at the confidence people have in you, potential customers have in you. What happened today is not just like, well, this happens in corporate America all the time. People get fired out of the blue. What you're missing is they didn't get fired out of the blue. The franchise, Robert Pera knew he was going to do this. And he still let them go out there and speak on behalf of the franchise. Just like Jeff said in the last segment, can you imagine a big company allowing a CEO to get on a phone call, an earnings call, and talking about this, and then boom, an hour later he's fired? That's a terrible look. This is a terrible look for the Grizzlies. This should be a good day for them. Instead, it reeks of dysfunction, of bad decision-making. There was a way to fire everybody that got fired and everybody that got demoted and actually turn it into a positive for the franchise. But when you do it in the way that they did it, it gets mocked, it looks silly, and it makes you question everything else that they do. Be back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
For dinner to go.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
No, Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and that's Memphis Barbecue Company down in Horn Lake. How do you know it's world championship barbecue? Because the owner is Melissa Cookston, and she's won 8 world championships. Actually, the first woman ever inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. She's the reason USA Today, when they wrote about Memphis Barbecue Company, they wrote that a visit to Memphis Barbecue Company is, quote, worth a pilgrimage. I've personally been going there for years and years and years because, as long as I'm being honest, it's on my way home. But also, it's like awesome on my way home. If it was just average on my way home, I'd never go there. But when we call in pickups, we call into Memphis Barbecue Company. If you've been there, you know it's worth the trip, and it's just right across the state line, Goodman Road exit. You can see it from the interstate, so it's not as far as you might think. So if you're driving down 55, just drive a little farther than you normally might. You'll see it. And if you don't usually go that way, take it from me. Maybe it's time to go. 709 DeSoto Cove, just off the interstate in Horn Lake. It's Memphis Barbecue Company on the web, MemphisBBQCO.com, MemphisBBQCO.com. Let's do dinner.
Dinner to Go is brought to you by Memphis Barbecue Company. It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
A whole bunch of stuff, but mostly focused on the Memphis Grizzlies. Chris Wallace demoted, John Hollinger in a different role. Seems like a demotion. J.B. Bickerstaff fired, no longer head coach of your Memphis Grizzlies. I don't have any issue with what they did, but they went the way they went about it, the way they did it, nonsensical. And contrary to what the last caller thought, it does matter how they got fired, because the way they got fired in a very public way, it's a bad look for the franchise and another reason for people to be skeptical that the people running the franchise know what they're doing.
What's the biggest game tonight?
Not going to have these people bad-mouthing the New York Mets, the first place New York Mets the way they were earlier today.
Oh, no.
So the biggest game tonight is Mets-Braves, SunTrust Park, Cumberland, Georgia. Steven Matz.
There you go.
With a 0.87 ERA is on the mound. These odds makers have disrespected the Mets tonight, made the Braves -125 on the money line.
Oh, no, it's something to prove.
That take the Mets as underdogs. Pete Alonso's the next great thing.
What should I watch on TV?
Let me find my file.
You're cute.
Let me find my file.
All right.
Oh, I actually got something.
Okay.
Pooh, the Derrick Rose story, debuts tonight on Watch Stadium. It's a documentary on former University of Memphis star Derrick Rose.
Okay.
So if you want to watch that, I think it starts streaming in like 3 minutes on Watch Stadium. So you can watch that if you're up late. Don Cheadle's on Jimmy Kimmel. Emma Stone, the GOAT's on Jimmy Fallon. Donnie Wahlberg's on Stephen Colbert.
Is there anything I need to make sure
Jeff
I read?
Jeff said he's writing a column about the wacky day and Grizzlies basketball. So read that when it publishes, dailymemphian.com.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
It'll be Friday. It means Dan Wolk in first hour. Jeff Calk is in the second. Should be fun. Enjoy your night. I'm going to enjoy mine. We'll be back here tomorrow at 4. Till then, be careful. Be kind. Be good. Rep your hood.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.